coming up to almost 8:15 here on 2SER. So I've got Michael here with some movie reviews. Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm feeling pretty sweet this morning, which brings me to the first film that I'm going to talk about, which comes out today. It's called Honey Boy.
Oh, well done. Like the segue.
Yeah, nice segue, wasn't it? This one stars Shia LaBeouf. The film is also written by him. And Noah Jupe, Lucas Hedges, and Laura San Giacomo are also in this kind of small indie film directed by Alma Harrell in her feature film debut. Our story opens with young Hollywood star Otis, where he's got no second name in this film. You get this feeling his second name might be LaBeouf, but we don't know what it is. He's played by Lucas Hedges. He's going into an alcohol and drug-induced meltdown. He's forced into court-ordered rehab, obviously, where his counsellor, played by Laura San Giacomo, forces him to confront his past. The story is then told in a series of flashbacks of younger childhood star Otis, this time played by Noah Jupe, trying to deal with his recovering substance-abusing father, played by Shia LaBeouf, who is supposed to be his legal guardian. Let's just say the relationship is a tad dysfunctional. Otis keeps Dad around because technically he needs an adult guardian looking out for him and keeping his best interests at heart in the Hollywood jungle, and sort of still loves him, whilst James, that's his father's name, sticks around. You get the feeling mainly for the paycheck, but also maybe so he can win back some of his son's respect and love. We're never quite sure about the motivations for either of the two in this film, but the two definitely do need each other. Honey Boy, it's a fairly grim film, but it's also fascinating to look behind the facade of a child actor's life, as it was based on Shia LaBeouf's own experiences growing up as a child actor, dealing with a father who never quite made it and was dealing with some issues of his own. So, you wonder why Shia LaBeouf is like he is. You know, we often see reports in the press of him misbehaving and that sort of stuff. You kind of get the feeling that this might have had something to do with it. Shia LaBeouf, he has a reputation of being somewhat difficult and eccentric. Well, this movie certainly explains a lot. You never really know what's going on in someone's life, like once the camera stops rolling, especially in their formative years, when they're very small children. And it also asks the question, is it nature or nurture? Again, Shia LaBeouf, why is he like he is? Look, young Noah Jupin is quite brilliant as the younger Otis. He's a precociously talented kid, but he's obviously also quite vulnerable. And LaBeouf, as Father James, is also, he's actually quite disturbing. You spend most of the film waiting for him to really crack it, and when he does, it's kind of ugly. The two, LaBeouf and Noah Jupe, they work beautifully together as the dysfunctional father and son, and the relationship is quite amazing to watch. Honey Boy, it's challenging viewing, and it's a bittersweet experience. I'll talk quickly about The Invisible Man. If it stars Elizabeth Moss, Aldous Hodge, Michael Dorman, and it's directed by Lee Whannell from Saw fame.
Of course.
Yes, look, this film also comes out today. Yes, it's another take on the H.G. Wells story. I can't really give it a proper review as I only saw the unfinished version of the film. But I will say this version is told from the perspective of the victim in this case, played by Elizabeth Moss. It's a modern take. It also explores themes of domestic violence and women constantly having to prove what is happening to them is actually happening to them. And it's all told in the B-picture genre. Is there anything to see here? I'll let you see it and you can be the judge. I'll move on to Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears, which opens today, starring Essie Davis, Nathan Page, Rupert Penry-Jones, John Stanton, John Waters, Jacqueline McKenzie, and Miriam Margoyles makes an appearance in this one. It's directed by Tony Tills. Our film opens with Phryne Fisher, played by Essie Davis, rescuing a young woman from a Jerusalem jail cell. But apparently it's not quite that simple. There's a whole mystery to unravel about the girl's past, some precious jewels, and of course there's an ancient curse.
Naturally.
Yeah, look, if you like spending your Saturday nights in watching Midsummer Murders or Poirot or the Miss Fisher murder mysteries, then this is the film for you. In fact, it definitely is for you because you probably contributed to the crowdfunding to get this film made. It's possibly a boomer looking for yet another tax break supporting the Australian film industry. There's not really much to say about this film except that It was filmed partly on location in Morocco, doubling for 1920s Palestine. It's pretty formulaic, the dialogue is cheesy, and it all feels very safe and comfortable. Despite a few minor characters being killed off, you never really get the feeling that the intrepid detective, Miss Franny Fisher, is in the slightest bit of danger, and she always looks absolutely fabulous in her 1920s fashions. Even though she's in dusty desert, there's never a speck of dust on any of her clothes. She's always looking magnificent. And even though this is a feature film, it just feels like an extended telly movie to me, possibly from the 1980s. Everything just feels very safe, warm, comfortable, and predictable. Nothing too challenging. Perfect matinee viewing for Scotty from marketing's quiet Australians. Your grandparents will probably love Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears, but you'll probably be the one shedding them in boredom or frustration if they drag you along to see it with them.
Tell us how you really feel. Michael, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Catch you next week.